Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and I'm excited to be kicking off Paul's first missionary journey in Acts 13. So, are you ready for an adventure? In verse 2, Paul and Barnabas received their assignment. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul to the work that I have called them to." So after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And just like that, the entire history of the world changes with those few simple words. And for the rest of the book of Acts, Luke focuses on these three journeys that Paul takes. Maybe you've set out on an adventurous road trip, the station wagon all packed up to head to Wally World, or you're waiting to board the plane for an exciting vacation destination at the airport. Journeys can get us all giddy with the possibility of an adventure before us, and what an adventure it will be in Acts chapter 13 as Paul and Barnabas forge ahead into the wild blue yonder of mission. You know those maps of Paul's journeys at the back of your Bible? The first missionary journey of Paul is covered in Acts 13 and 14, and now might be a good time to bookmark them and follow along as we trace Paul's steps over the next few chapters. But like the maps of old that bore the inscription, "Beware all ye that enter here, for there be dragons," they will encounter their first dragon on the Isle of Cyprus, where Barnabas was from. Let's join them on their journey in verse 4. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. This is John Mark, by the way, the author of the Gospel of Mark and, incidentally, Barnabas' cousin. But back to the dragons, verse 6. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and a false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun." When you look up passive-aggressive in the dictionary, Paul's picture won't be there. You got to hand it to Paul. He wasn't one to mince words, and he didn't need to, verse 12. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. What exactly had happened? Elymas the sorcerer went blind. It is no small thing that he was struck with the same blindness that the apostle Paul had. And I'm sure Paul hoped that this man, like him, would eventually repent and turn to the Lord. But now that dragon slain and newfound treasure in a converted governor, the two of them take leave and head out on another adventure in verse 13. From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. This seemingly subtle comment about John Mark leaving them is important. Luke wants you to note it, but isn't ready to talk about it just yet, so we won't either. But tuck it away in your mind for a few chapters later that John Mark leaves them just as they get started in Turkey, Paul's homeland. It'll be important in a bit. Oh, and one other thing. Here, Saul's name for the first time changes to Paul, meaning insignificant or small. And that could be a result of what we learn from Paul's letter to the Galatians, that he struggled here off the coast of Galatia with eye problems. You remember that Paul wrote, "I have written you with large letters in my own hand," and he even told the Galatian believers, "If you could have, You would have ripped your own eyes out and given them to me. Paul was suffering with eye trouble here. You see, the southern coast of Turkey they were in here was known for malaria that causes eye problems in its advanced stages. And Paul may have been reminded how weak and frail he was as he once again lost the ability to see. It may even be the infamous thorn in the flesh that God used to humble him after his miracles and revelations. Because this was personal for Paul to go blind. It was what God used to show him that he needed Jesus. Well, we just don't know. We only know that from here on out, he uses the term Paul when describing himself, small or insignificant. Well, let's follow Barnabas and Paul as they continue their ministry into this Galatian region in verse 14. From Perga, they went to Pisidian Antioch. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the leaders of the synagogue sent word to them saying, "Brothers, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, please speak." Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, "Fellow Israelites, and you, Gentiles who worship God, listen to me." With that, Paul bravely recounts the history of Israel choosing Saul, his former namesake, instead of God's chosen one, David. Masterfully, Paul introduces Jesus as God's chosen one, rejected by Israel and put to death, but risen from the dead as a savior for all who would receive him. Paul drives straight to their heart in verse 38. "Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. Take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I am going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you." As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. They began to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse on him. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed to eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region, but the Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust off their feet as a warning to them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Did you catch that? Paul's very sermon plays out in front of their eyes as the Jews reject Jesus, the chosen one, again. History repeats itself. The Jews, just like they rejected David, the chosen one, now they're rejecting Jesus. But the Gentiles, verse 48, when they heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed to eternal life believed. Get that again. As many as were appointed believed. You see, the Jews weren't the only chosen ones. Paul would later write to the Gentile churches that they too were chosen before the foundation of the world to receive the gospel. And you, my friend, whether Jew or Gentile, were also in God's mind in eternity past. That should fill you with the same joy of the Holy Spirit as Paul and Barnabas and the Gentiles at the end of the chapter, as we are caught up into the same adventure they were, in a chapter filled with twists and turns and dragons and governors who believe, miracles, controversies, and anything else fitting an epic tale. Well, Join us for the conclusion of this first missionary journey on our next time together on our journey through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.